Hi, this is Buko, and I haven't drank any coffee, and welcome to Softball Diaries, with my co-host, Alex Klegger.
Hey there, Softball Universe! What's up? I drank a full cup of coffee today. Super excited to have Chris Malpe in the studio with us. Chris, say hello.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mm-hmm. Actually known as Cousin Chris.
Right, but for the rest of this podcast, he's just going to be Chris, and Gabe Yaskey will be referring to as Cousin Gabe.
Ha!
I like it. I'm sticking with it.
Perfect. Yeah, this is probably the earliest Softball Diaries we've ever done. It is 1:45 in the afternoon.
It's like embarrassing. I shouldn't even be awake right now.
It's a new record. I'm fighting off a little bit of a hangover. Great hang last night, though, Buko. We watched, It Follows?
It Follows. It was disturbing. Kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, it had some interesting tropes.
I feel like the worst part was seeing the thing actually have sex with someone.
Like such a quick scene, though. It didn't really affect me that much.
Spoiler alert. Sorry. Anyway, it's not even. It doesn't matter.
That's all right.
Anyway, before we get too involved, though, I do want to give a quick shout out to the RJ Metrics Buddy Time podcast, inspired by our Softball Diaries' very own podcast, featuring Ron episode.
I should have introduced you as Alex Klegger.
Alex Klegger, yeah. My boss, Robert J. Moore, started a podcast where he interviews people in a very similar format, inspired by Softball Diaries. So check out the RJ Metrics Buddy Time podcast if you get a chance. They're on iTunes as well.
I really appreciated the shout-out. I listened to like 25 minutes of it before I was like, why am I listening to this interview of a guy I don't know or care about? But, you know, maybe that's a good sign for them.
There you go. They already have one listener outside the organization. So,
for the Alex Klegger mentions.
Yeah. So, what else is going on in the world? The Cubs and the Mets are playing, and the your Toronto Blue Jays playing the Royals.
How do you feel about Canadians throwing garbage or rubbish onto the field? Hitting a baby with a beer. What were the chances of the two Major League Baseball teams I support, the Phillies and the Blue Jays, the Blue Jays being the ones that hit a child with a beer this year? Well, what are the odds?
I'm not surprised that the Blue Jays, Canadian baseball fans, don't know the rules of the game.
That is a really weird rule. It doesn't make any sense to me because he stuck his arm out. It wasn't like
stick his arm out. He was just doing the.
He had his arm straight out. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was weird
because he was in the batter's box.
It's the umpires didn't know the rule either because they also told him to go back to third base.
One umpire,
the head umpire or the whatever. Like,
did they have tagged him out on that? Is my question. Like hypothetically, or did he automatically advance?
I guess it's
not automatically. It's just a live ball.
Okay,
just the same thing as if the pitcher missed it or really any ball. It's just a live ball. Okay. And there's not the only reason that the umpire initially called that was because it was like if it was like almost like an interference, which is a dead ball,
right?
But that would only be if a player intentionally interfered, and obviously he did not intentionally interfere.
And also Joey Bat-Stro Batista had that nice bat flip. I know
they've been talking about that bat flip for 36 hours.
I know it's like the top news story. I kind of like it. I mean, I know I'm never going to hit a home run because I'm not fast enough. So maybe next time I hit like a clear-cut single, I'm going to do a bat flip.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. And we're really deep in the heart of October, and it's super spooky.
Oh, yeah. I noticed a lot of good Halloween decorations around. Klegger, you have any favorites?
There's dolls down the street. Pretty good. There's a Bride of Chucky and a regular Chucky.
Yeah, there's around me, there's a haunted house type thing that's like, I think, run out of somebody's house, but they like really go all out.
I think
for
like
it.
Seven of the eight houses on your block are probably haunted or at least abandoned.
I mean, there's people living there that maybe shouldn't be. Anyway, spirits.
Yeah. So, Chris, what are you going to be for Halloween?
That's a good. I usually scrape together a costume on like the 30th. Mm. I think last year I was like Edward Snowden. So I just
I
threw some glasses on and
little
poker
case
I walked
like
around
it. yeah
so okay. That's kind of, I'm looking for any kind of nerd with notoriety, I guess. Maybe I'll go Steve Jobs or something this year.
Oh, really? Good.
The ghost of Steve Jobs. Too soon?
No
okay.
Buko's gonna be.
They've
something.
Already made two movies about it.
I
think like more than that.
I know, but like two major motion releases.
Pirates of Silicon Valley. That was made
okay, but after he died.
Yeah, and that was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
Buko's going to be something from the 70s.
I think I might be a cactus with a mustache, maybe.
What? Cactus was going to be my backup.
All right, I didn't know that.
But... It's okay. It's a good costume. Yeah, you can wear a sombrero. Yeah. That little insider tip, the cactus game. All right, we got a good game recap coming up. We mostly remember the game. Then huge interview. Cannot emphasize how big this interview with Chris was going to be.
Yes.
So after the huge monumental game that we had 2 weeks ago, this game came together a little bit later than we expected because there was a makeup soccer game going on between kids that were age, what, 3 to 5? I'm not really sure how old those children were.
Well, there was one guy that was like 6'4", and one guy that was like 4'2".
Yeah, but 4'2 is being very generous, but yeah. He had moves. He had a future. Future Freddie Adu for sure.
The taller guy was way better, but yeah.
Well, it's easy to be tall.
But he also had moves, too. But he clearly had hit his growth spurt.
Where, yeah.
Anyway.
But we did develop a very strong relationship with that little guy and that little guy's the little girl's sister. We convinced him to put dirt in your cleats, Spooko. That was a lot of fun.
It wasn't very hard to convince him of that, though. Like he might have started doing it before anybody told him to.
Yeah,
he was mostly playing with the cones before you guys.
He was super interested in Steph's pizza as well.
It was my pizza. Nice. Steph was trying to give my pizza to him.
No, I was trying to give.
Right, Claire. You were just being a terrible influence the entire time.
Not my baby. Anyway, the game was, the captains were Sam Herman and Zach Gross. I think it might have been Herman's first captaincy this year.
I don't think so, but it's been a while for him.
It's great to see him step back into the leadership spotlight.
I think he did a great job.
Wow, great job. So what were the makeup of the teams?
So let's see. Chris, you were on Zach's team.
Yep.
And he put you at the top of the lineup. I feel like you'd never get to
it. No, it was an interesting role for me. I'd like to think I didn't do terrible, but according to the stats, I may have.
Yeah, 1 for 5.
All right. I'm moving up. I'm a defensive specialist anyway.
I know. You some great plays in the outfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the team names?
I don't think we got team name. I asked them.
Gross was working on an incredible team name. I'm really sorry that the ink got put in. It was like, boop, boop, gup, doop.
He always is like, listen to this. Who's your mama? And it's like, what? I don't get it. And
he's like, who's your mama?
Yeah. And it's like, it's like, get it? And I'm like, no. But
I think it was Uwe, actually. I was there for, it might have been Erica's idea, actually.
Yeah, I think it was like Goosebumps reference.
I think I had asked Sam like 6 times, and Sam was like,
yeah.
You come up with it, which is terrible.
So the game definitely got off to a very interesting start in terms of Chris. You were facing Rohan, first time pitcher Rohan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I feel like after Nat Cross's great rookie debut on the mound, Rohan was encouraged to also try his hand at the old sidearm play. I don't know the slang for pitching, but so you actually had a pretty good hit off him. But we're robbed of an extra base hit by Kate.
That is true.
Yeah.
I hit a rocket straight into Kate's glove. I don't think she actually moved. She just stuck her hand in the air and I beelined it for the glove.
It was great because I had been warming her up, literally just like throwing the ball to her, and she hadn't gotten close on like 8 warm-up throws. And so it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Like
I'm happy to be a part of it.
Better than I could throw it to her, I guess. Yeah. But, that was a future. You took away a few hits yourself in the outfield.
Yeah, I like to think I repaid back the Sam squad.
But, Rohan did a fantastic job.
Well, so Rohan, after getting a good out at a Chris, I think he walked the next 3 batters. Right. But
walked 2 batters.
Crazy mental fortitude to come back from that. He was not close to play, and for it to be like his debut, he came back and what? He pitched
two innings, one run given up. That's pretty fantastic.
Really solid. I would have definitely had him collapse out there if I were him.
I like how you phrase that. Like I would have had him emotionally collapse if I were him.
I had him on pencil in for an emotional collapse. I was just waiting for the tears, but they never came. So it's
right. Huge. And our team, Sam's team, which is my team, we had a big second inning. We scored Mercy Rule off of Yoski, Just, you know, a bunch of hits. Big double by Jeff Knight to close it out.
Yeah, Jeff, that was an awesome hit. Jeff Knight had a
frozen rope. No,
it was like
tailing.
Eric actually played it really, really, really well.
She I know, but play, it didn't, but it didn't really matter. No outs recorded in that inning either, which is kind of six runs scored. Nobody got out.
Yeah.
Anyway, things got pretty wonky in the third. That's when my team started making like a ridiculous amount of errors. I pitched, but there was just so many errors, and Rohan didn't touch the base, which was a sign of more things to come. At first base.
At first.
He.
What was the play?
I can't remember specifically what the play was, but it was a ground ball to shortstop. And the throw came over, and Rohan just... I think he's got a bit of the yips a little bit right now at first
base.
Classic
yips, yeah.
And he just sort of... He made a conscious... Not like, you know, like a sort of a decision where, like, he... I think he's a little nervous that he's going to make a collision at first base. And he just sort of came off the bag really early and was just like, sorry, like... That happened. It was kind of weird. There's another play where I think it was Erica that was up, and there was runners on first and second, and the ball was hit back to me. I was pitching,
yeah,
and I turned to throw it to second base, and I threw it to second base, but Sam, who was playing shortstop, was sort of just like standing there with his hands on his hips, and so threw it way in the outfield. It just sort of got like...
Caught spectating.
Yeah, it was very weird. Like, he like looked at me and he was like, I probably should have, and I was like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, we let the grosses back, or the ooey's, or whatever you want to call them, back in the game, sort of by not really doing our jobs.
Yeah, but then, you know, the grosses paid you guys back in spade by just having an awful inning of just missed bags, everything. Really collapse, defensive collapse.
So that was super strange. There was one play where the ball went to shortstop, who was Zach.
Hoovered it up.
Yeah. Tosses it to Stephanie. I was coming down from first base, and Stephanie sort of... sees me coming and sort of steps off the bag and tries to step back on it real fast, but I got in there just in time before she stepped back
on
the bag.
You're an intimidating base runner, so
I was running in hard mostly to try and break up the double play, Chase Utley style, break some legs.
You know, maybe that's probably what Steph had in mind when he stepped off the bag.
Right. You do look a lot like Chase Utley.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
It's got to be the flavor, say it.
Well, honestly, yeah, if I was... I would have argued for a neighborhood play there, but I'm fine with it also being, I don't know.
I think it had to do with her, like, she wasn't trying to, like, get near the bag. She, like, had also made, like, a decision to, like, get out of the way, sort of, which is why I felt,
not a big deal.
I may have been a little too emotionally involved. Anyway, the next play I didn't really get a good look at because I was running around.
Gross again. Is this the one where Gross missed third?
This must have been because you said it was the next play, right?
So, yeah, Gross fielded a ball. Yeah, and that makes sense because there was at least two on. Or there actually might have been bases loaded at this point. Probably bases loaded. So there's a force out at third. Gross, I think, were you playing third, Chris?
No, I was in left field the whole game.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, great left field play, though.
Hey, yeah.
You got a lot of gems out there. Quite a few catches.
Thank
How many catches do you think you had?
That game, I think two or three. I don't remember. I know two for sure because I robbed Gabe, which I felt particularly
good
about.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I think this was a couple plays later.
Okay.
So this was when Rohan was up, I think.
Okay. So Gross fields a grounder, shortstop, and makes a beeline towards third to make that out at third, and then he throws it home. But then he's like, yeah, guys, didn't, and no play was made at home. And he was like, yeah, guys, didn't touch the bag on third. Right. So no outs. Kind of just a weird looping. He made like an L shape and then threw the ball and didn't get anything. I guess he was trying to preserve the force out at home, but it was really just a, I don't know, completely absent-minded play.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it there, but... good effort on the play, I'll say, of Gross.
I would not say that.
No, I'm trying to... He was my captain. I'm trying to stand behind him. But it was a little bit of a knucklehead play there, I gotta admit.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not get a view of it, but I just saw a lot of confused people. That's mostly what I saw, was weird faces.
Really caps off the game for the Grosses. Who won this game?
Sam Herman's team did win the game eventually. It was close.
Yeah, the way the game ended there was a little confusing, right, too. A
little bit of controversy. So I was actually calling balls and strikes, so... And the final play was a grounder that was fielded by Buco, who was playing first. And Sam goes over to cover, and his foot was definitely not on the base, but it was close next to the base.
Right.
And I thought, I mean, I did not have the same view that you guys had, but all I saw was that his foot was not on the base, it was close to the base. So my initial ruling was safe, just because all I saw was it was off the base. Which we later then revised based on very loud protest on Buco and Sam's part, who were very involved in the play, that his foot was implanted, forced next to the bag.
Well, I mean, that is technically, as long as you're touching any part of the bag.
I just didn't see it. I mean, I don't disagree that it happened, I just didn't see that.
Right. So upon, like looking back on it, maybe I would have given Stephanie the neighborhood play if I had been... That one, he actually did have his foot on the side of the bag. He did make contact with it. So I think that wasn't out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Controversial way to end the game, but probably the right call.
Yeah.
Chris, looks like you have something to say.
Yeah, I feel like one of those two probably should have gone our way. That's probably how I feel. Like, you know, we sort of, maybe we botched that second base call. I'm not sure. Wasn't really close enough to see it. But yeah. I think you got to give one back to the other side. When
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
something like that.
How it works is I feel like Gabe was playing defense for Sam's team, and there was one play early on where we gave it to the Gross team, which was Gross's roommate legged out a single, and then... No other, that was the only play, that was the only close play that went, the rest of the plays all went in the other side.
There was another play where Erica had a close play. I also think she was out on the play, but again, she thought she was safe.
Yeah, it just seems weird that it's like one play, and then it's locked down. No, all the close plays are obvious outs. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I thought that the correct calls were made on a couple of them. I mean, I know that they're close, and sometimes that's how it works. But, yeah, I can understand why it can be frustrating for the other team.
Yeah, but great weather, and overall a pretty positive atmosphere of the game.
Sure. Yeah.
Final score?
Let's
call it 8-6. All right, Chris, now that you're on the hot seat...
All
right. You feel it? Yeah. You're a little warm. It's a little warm
it's
in here.
Thirsty,
you're right.
Yeah.
I told you it was warm. It's Indian summer. Oof. Sorry.
That doesn't sound good.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means. But okay.
That's when it gets hot again after it freezes. It hasn't frozen. Actually, might be a frost tomorrow.
Gonna
wake up.
It's gonna be cold.
30 degrees Sunday. Yeah. Okay. So, Chris, you went to Temple University. Temple strong. Temple proud. All that stuff.
That's true. Yep.
What was your major?
Broadcasting, telecommunications, and mass media. I think they changed the title of their media degree like every other year.
Media studies or whatever? Or
they just keep adding syllables to it.
Really? Yeah, they add more? Like, I feel like
I
they should
know.
Get rid of
I
some.
I don't know how that can fit on a diploma. You majored in three things?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know why. They could just call it multimedia and keep it real short and simple. But it's basically a TV production degree. So I graduated in 2008. At the height of the Great Recession.
There you go. Great time to be alive. Great time to be a millennial.
Great time to come out of college.
Great time to hit the job market with a TV production degree.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. So, essentially, well, I did work on the Obama campaign briefly. As
there
like
we go.
A legit job straight out of college running a call center. But then, as soon as that ended...
Where was that? KC? Kansas?
Sorry?
Where was that?
John? Oh, actually, that was 5th and Spring Garden.
Interesting.
The
call centers are usually in, like...
Now, this was, like, a mobile call center from the AFL-CIO, so they set me up in, like, a big bus, like, painted purple with all these, like, seats for people to make calls on laptops.
Yeah,
just, like, across the street from Silk City?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There's a big parking lot right there.
Yep.
Nice.
So, I used to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was awful. Calling people? Like,
oh, yeah. It's calling... Yeah, oh, some of these cold calls were just like... you can't believe some... Like, I'm trying to talk a guy down from thinking there's going to be a race war in like a couple months after Obama's elected or something. Just like the most insane calls you could imagine, but... Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Well, it worked out, you know. I'm sure Obama was glad to have you on the side there.
Yeah, he owes me Pennsylvania, is what I feel like. I deserve a thanks from him.
It was close, but the Chris bump really helped him out.
Oh, yeah. But, well, you think I could have gotten a job at... Well, I worked in a liquor store right after that, so you think I would have gotten something out of it, but...
Yeah, the liquor store's like, yeah, he did not work here, he just came in a lot.
Nice.
Boom, got it. All right, but you did actually, you moved to New York... after graduation, or when was this?
3 years I worked in D.C. after...
Wow, what were you doing in D.C.?
Discovery Channel work a little bit, some just kind of shooting interviews with basically any freelance TV job I could get. I shot a lot of weddings, too. I did a lot of random TV production work and then moved to New York to be with my girlfriend and to maybe move my TV production career along a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on Project Runway for a season.
Oh, nice. Which season? Who won?
I have no idea. I left before the season ended because they were paying so shitty.
What season was it? Which season of Project Runway?
I want to say... Oh, it's Project Runway season 11 is what I want to say. There's too many of them.
I think Stephanie's a big 25. Fan. Yeah. Stephanie's a big fan. I don't know. I never followed it.
Tim Gunn? Tim Gunn, is that his name?
Yeah. Tim Gunn.
Well, it's very out there, but I'm into it.
Actually, it was pretty good, actually. That's your best impersonation you've ever done.
I'm floored how good that was, to be honest. Like,
I'm impressed. Yeah.
That was you are great. So close to becoming a game fashion icon.
We actually watch a lot of that show here. The episodes are extremely structured. Like, it's always like this.
I didn't deal with the contestants. I drove the first contestant to get kicked off. Home, like to their hotel.
I thought you were the one like whispering behind the scenes. Like, you gotta get rid of this.
I was conspiring to.
Where are we going? Like, oh, we're.
Just like drove her off a cliff.
You just kicked them out on the New Jersey Turnpike.
I wasn't having a great day. I wish I was nicer to her because she was crying most of the ride home.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, did they do the exit interview there, or is it like?
I was a production assistant, okay. So I didn't do a whole lot. I was just driving equipment around. I was driving people around.
I know in some of those shows they like interview them in the car as they're driving away. I feel like that's The Bachelor or something like that, but
maybe. I'm not sure. I think I think they interviewed her and then stuck her in this van that was waiting out front that I was driving. And then so I only worked there like 3-4 months or maybe less. I can't even remember. I've had so many jobs that like. They all kind of blur together. I worked for Democracy Now! Is another one. It's very political. NewsHour. What else do we have? I've had like 30 jobs, and most of them don't stand out, really, to be honest.
You haven't had 30 jobs.
In the last like 8 years, I might have had like 30 jobs.
Wow. So he was working as freelance.
I mean, I'd love to see your resume. Do you have an updated resume?
Yeah.
CV?
I'll send it over to you. Maybe I should have done that ahead of time.
That would have, actually, we should pull it.
Please. That would be so much better.
Yeah, I like the idea of being like, nah, this person's resume doesn't check out. Yeah. They're not the right person for this interview. Yeah.
Why don't you build this up for a couple years, come back to us, get some managerial experience.
Yeah. Yeah, where were you for 2013? It just doesn't add up. Where can I have you?
You stopped off at Starbucks. Yeah, you're not. I mean, you took a step backward.
You're a little too old to still be using the president of your high school volleyball team. Yeah, like it's a little bit. You can take that off now. All right, but you did have one notable one that we've heard about.
Sure.
Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. Yeah. I had about a year and a half there of. It's kind of like working in a. Frat House's cafeteria, these big long tables with a bunch of guys walking around and acting like
you get still... like hit in the back a lot.
No, I would have. I literally had to take a guy to the side and say, "Don't put your hands on me, man." And it was a very like charged because he was like taken aback that like, "Oh, this guy I've never talked to doesn't want me to touch him." It was like it was a very fratty atmosphere, I have to say. And
what'd you do there?
Video editor. So the highlights, all the video, highlights on their website. I did a lot of college football, some NFL, which was never fun because they don't have the rights to NFL games. So you just had to move pictures of like guys looking sad if a play like went against them. And, so just putting like weird like Ken Burns motion on like stills of NFL like games, kind of weird. But it was a good experience overall. But not happy I left, or not unhappy that I left. I'd say.
That's cool. So, do you have any good stories of your time at the Bleacher Report?
Good stories?
All right, interesting story.
Interesting
evocative story.
All right, yeah, we briefly touched on this earlier. I'd say one of the hosts with a notable name was known for, how do I put it?
Being
an asshole, not holding back on graphically inappropriate stories in the workplace environment. Mm. The one that stands out is, this is a former NFL player.
Who, first name Chris, played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right.
That's enough. Come on.
There's a lot of them. Who knows? There could be...
Can you name several? It doesn't matter. Let's not name anyone. All right, just keep going.
All right, he could have. Hypothetically,
we'll cut that out.
Okay, so here's the story. We're all kind of gathered around. There's like 8 of us working on this NFL piece. He just walks up. Somebody asks him how his night went, and he doesn't think to filter this at all. So he went to a burlesque show and goes on a rant for good like 5 minutes, which is a long time when somebody's describing a burlesque show where a guy with completely shaved body is removing a dildo from an orifice. You can probably guess which one. And he just describes every aspect of this act in detail to a group of 8 employees, only one of which was female, so I can imagine the lawsuit that didn't come from that because we didn't have any HR representation. And that's not a Bleacher Report. That's pretty much Bleacher Report in a nutshell. It's like every other day being very uncomfortable in your workplace environment.
I remember being that guy that pulled the dildo out. I remember that night. Anyway. Wow, that's
disgusting.
Yeah. So what are you doing now?
So I moved from
Take us along your timeline,
I should say. So I moved back to Philly after that, after a couple of years of being incredibly uncomfortable. Moved back to Philly with my girlfriend. We're living in South Philly. I'm working at the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, which is a nonprofit group that defends free speech rights and due process rights on college campuses. So we provide pro bono legal services to anybody who feels like their free speech rights have been infringed upon.
So what type of videos do you do for them?
I film professors, like social psychologists, just kind of intellectual, big wig muckety mucks, discussing free speech rights. It's pretty fun. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed a Chicago law professor that had the honor of hiring Barack Obama to teach constitutional law at the University of Chicago. So
wow, that is pretty cool.
So a lot of really smart people over there.
Mm. That's pretty cool. It's pretty hard to get a production job, a video production job at all in Philadelphia, so it's
a
niche.
I haven't had that it's not a, it's hard to get a, I don't know. It's hard to get a very mainstream job, I guess. There's a lot of nonprofit work here. There's like a lot of, you know, live event kind of work, like things like that. But yeah, you're right. Getting a job at like HBO is never going to happen in Philly or something.
Yeah. I said it must be, cause the nigga got dough. Extraordinary swag in the mouth full of gold. O's at my shows, they be stripping off their clothes. And the college girls write a nigga name on their toe.
Alright, so, tell us, do you have any siblings?
Two older brothers, yeah. Josh actually played the Suburban Classic.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And,
right. He had that disgusting, weird sushi meat. I don't know what that was.
I was,
What?
It was like a Vietnamese like salad that didn't have any of the elements of a normal salad.
Yeah, it was just like a white and like translucent material and some like fake roe, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I didn't even try it.
Okay. I had no idea about this, but yeah, Josh had a good game. Any other ones? You said another one?
Alex lives in D.C., and I'm not sure if he's going to
make
one.
I remember the cake with the three of you.
Oh, yeah,
that was birthday adorable. Cake.
Yeah. So, were you you guys are Jewish, I heard?
Yeah, I don't think any of us had a bar mitzvah.
No, nobody had a bar mitzvah.
It was really helpful for an embarrassing bar mitzvah story.
I'm sure I've had embarrassing moments at other people's bar mitzvahs. I feel like I blacked them all out. Like, 7th grade to 10th grade for me, just kind of tuned out.
That's too bad. I guess we can ask Buko about his bar mitzvah. Where were you bar mitzvahed, Buko?
I was bar mitzvahed at Penn Hillel.
Really?
Yeah.
Why go there for the synagogue?
At the University of Penn, they have a Hillel, which is like the Jewish
square. Beautiful building.
Right. I mean, essentially, we got to run the, you know, the service as we chose. It was a really great time. It was beautiful. Anyway, back to you. Yeah. So I mean, of course, we know you through your cousin Gabe.
Right.
How's that relationship? It's his. How are you two related?
Gabe's dad, Steve,
yeah,
is my mom's first cousin.
Okay.
So that makes us... I'm second cousin to Steve. I guess I'm third cousin to Gabe, technically.
Once removed, maybe?
Second once removed? I don't know how that generation.
That's why I thought you guys would be like first cousins or something.
Just cousin is just a generic term for somebody who's vaguely related, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
But, so how was cousin Gabe growing up?
Yeah, was he a dick?
Not that I remember. I don't remember too many dickish... moves from Gabe.
Wow, you must have not spent that much time with him.
I guess maybe
Zig Bird. Anyway, yeah.
Twice a year, I guess. We didn't see each other too much until we were adults, really. I guess. Just like Thanksgiving here, you know, Christmas Eve there, Jewish Christmas, which is like a movie and Chinese food.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's the best.
Yeah, and then you also know Tom. You are the connection to Tom, I should say. He is,
yeah.
You guys went to high school, so yeah.
Yeah, I think we found out way after the fact that we both went to the same like kindergarten and didn't really recognize each other, which I guess you understand.
No, you guys both have beards now, so it's different.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so is TK1, I hear, the leading candidate for MVP?
I think it is too early.
We'll get into it a little bit later about that. Your allegiances here.
Yeah.
I think the stat analysis would be very interesting, but I'm not prepared for it.
Do we have a war?
I don't know how to calculate war.
What book could I fucking calculate that?
I can try, but I feel like I don't have. I haven't kept all.
It'd
the
be
stats
interesting
that
the the user. You know the who is the best fielding? The UZR rating?
Do we have that?
No, stats? I mean I don't even keep track of. I can't even keep track of that because like. And that would involve me writing down who's aligned to defense every time.
Yeah,
where the ball's hit to, how
it's hit. I think that calculating UZR, it is a judgment call every single time, pretty much.
Right, it is, yeah.
So, yeah, I would expect that for you to be done
that. It would require that,
by,
I would have
Tuesday?
To. But I would, I would have to calculate who's playing what position, where the ball's hit, how likely it was that they could make the play, you know, like, because you have to calculate. Runs prevented.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's like, and you led the league with a 6 rating, and it's out of 300.
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you have any pets?
We got one cat, Matza. She's
Matza.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there's
that is our Jewish.
I got to back up those credentials because my mom didn't push the bar mitzvah thing hard enough. So.
Hey, but a cat named Matza, that's all you need to be considered
Jewish.
I hate
Matza, though. I would never name my cat Matza.
Oh, really?
It's a cute name, though. I kind of like it.
You got T, you got a Z in there. It's nice, you know?
I think we were talking about it for a while, and I decided that Z in Matza really makes it feminine somehow. That's a girl cat name, right?
No. Oh, I didn't realize the cat was.
Is it gender neutral?
I mean, yeah, I think it is gender neutral because that's what I think of matzah. It's neutral. It's just very
a bland
thing.
Yeah.
We're actually, this podcast is firmly pro bread. So if your cat was named Challah, we would have.
It was cute when Clegger and I lived together. Special. He would keep Passover, which would include keeping Passover for like 8 hours, and then be like, "Screw it, I need bread."
It's better than not. It's better than nothing. Although
I don't think that's true.
It definitely is better than nothing. Yes, I agree.
And then we had like a giant stack of matzah just sitting in our.
That is true. I only really eat it like a week a year.
I mean, it's
maybe.
Always funny that you get like 5 boxes, and it's like if you aren't really into matzah,
day.
Yeah, exactly. It's gross. Matza. Name your cat Matza. I had so much respect for you, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
Until that, you know.
So,
before.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
as an influential TV producer, television producer, what are your thoughts on the new Daily Show?
Oh, with Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
I think we'll get his... I got faith that he'll work it out.
Yeah. He's not striking me as having the same gravitas as Stewart, but I mean... No. Pretty big shoes, I guess.
But I remember being 14 and being, or 13, however old I was, and being upset that Craig Kilborn was not the host anymore.
Yeah.
I remember this.
And, really?
Yeah, and then I was like, who's this Jon Stewart guy?
Yeah.
And then, after like 2 years, I was like, oh, okay, well, he's way better than Craig Kilborn.
Yeah. I feel like you and Craig Kilborn could be like you guys could be siblings.
Yeah, oh, really? This is probably probably just made Craig Coboard's like weak just like hearing that.
Is he following this podcast?
Yeah, he totally is.
What else fan. He's like a huge fan of like Chris Sims, and he's that was the cough, man.
Because I'm filming a debate on Tuesday in Texas between Jay Billis and Oliver Luck, NCAA's vice president, on and I might be sending this footage to Bleacher Report. I'm pretty sure I'm sending this footage to Bleacher Report. So let's just hope nobody over there is following this.
Clegger, you might actually have to edit that out.
This could be any... The person we have on this podcast could be any Chris Malpe.
That's true.
Adam. You revealed the dirtiest secret of all.
Big reveal. We didn't catch it on the iPad, but your first name is not Chris at all.
That's true. It is. My first name is Adam. My middle name is Chris. I did that for my grandfather, who, as we all know, there's a bris ceremony where you introduce the kid to the world.
You get the snip.
Yeah, and you gotta pretty much have a Jewish name. Having Christopher as your first name doesn't go over so well, Christ, which in Latin, you may know, means Christ bearer. So it doesn't work out so well for the bris, so when Adam, Christopher Malpe, and family's always called me Chris, so... It was not a decision on my part.
So they were gonna call you Chris, but they went with the Jewish first name first. Yeah. Okay.
Which has been plaguing every teacher I had since, starting out with Adam and having to remember Chris afterwards.
Wow, what a politically charged way to enter the world.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know what to say.
It's like they gave you multiple snips, you know?
So, do you think there's anybody in your life that you'd take a bullet for?
Oh, wow. You would jump right into that one.
Wow. What's happening? I like it, though. I kind of like this. That's it.
It is a hot seat, isn't it? I'd say I'd take... I mean, I can't say in the moment. You know, that's a tough call to predict that you're going to take a bullet. But
who would you consider?
I'd consider all my immediate family.
All of it?
Yeah.
Come on.
My girlfriend, obviously. Then after that, it's kind of just, like, probably coin flip. Like, I feel like if there's a pregnant woman next to me or something on, like, a bus, like, maybe I'll push her out of the way, get in the way of a bullet. I don't know. I feel like it's a very...
Maybe I'll push her out of the way.
Maybe I'd throw her down the stairs to get her out of the way of that bullet.
Dodging the proverbial bullet in that case.
I feel like I'd let a pregnant... No, I'm not going to say that.
Don't say it, Tiger.
Just because there's, like, you know, that's, like, a part of their... They have this extreme, like, strength because they're, like, you know, they're bringing life into the world. I feel like they have like that aura and like they're capable of crazy things.
You think that you have superpowers if you're pregnant?
Like Terminator style.
I think it's a difference when like it's like the baby underneath the car thing. It's like a different strength.
I don't understand pregnancy, I think.
I don't think you do either. I think pregnant women actually have a lot of trouble moving around.
That's the one where the mom has superpowers for 9 months, right?
Lower back issues maybe, actually.
I like how things you would save. Immediate family, girlfriend, random pregnant lady. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
I think that's
it seems like you have a lot of connections to Obama. Poetry. I feel like you would dive in the way of
I don't know if I'd still... I feel like Obama has guys who are supposed to take a bullet.
I know. Yeah, exactly. If it comes down to you, somebody's failed.
There's been a lot of security and
there being a shooter and Chris like being like, Do I have to do this? Right
is this
now,
my?
Guys?
I was the media guy from like 10 years ago. Why am I taking the?
I kind of like that. Yeah, you get like shot and like you just like look up and you see like a social security guy's like, oh, I'm fired.
Thank God that guy was there. Yeah. I got a pension, man.
Obama's like, you took a sacred oath when you entered into that purple booth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and you're like, damn it, it wasn't the contract.
So this is a much easier question. How do you take your coffee?
A little bit of cream, sugar. I don't know. Usually not. Usually against the sugar. Maybe if it's like a shitty cup of coffee, I'll put some sugar in it. But generally, just a little bit of cream.
So let's say you're walking into Starbucks. What would you tell them?
I'd say leave a little bit of room for coffee or for milk. Give me some milk and leave a little bit of room.
I get that all the time though, because I like my coffee just like basically like got gold or yellow color, a lot of cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any coffee in there? You take it black, you're a psychopath.
That's one of the 12 things that you line up with, like, when your kid's, like, 14. Like, does he take any, does he take his coffee black? Does he torture animals? Does he, like, that's...
I trained myself to do it. I didn't enjoy it until I, like, because I slowly weaned my... Because, you know, it's bad for you if you, like, keep drinking the cream in it. So I just weaned myself off of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, because cream's just bad for you.
Ah, well...
I mean, it's just a fat.
Well, I'm still going to take it the same way. It's not going to affect mine.
You're a very skinny guy. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that.
I feel like my cholesterol is probably terrible, though. I feel like my diet's probably...
I don't think people care about cholesterol anymore.
No? It's gluten
That's
now?
Not true. You ready? I've been thinking about all the O's in my bank account. What? Extra
O's in my bed is around the same amount. What? Ever since this new star fame came about. So, Chris, what are your thoughts of having your face on a pog?
I'm very pro my face on a pog.
Oh, man, I would only be put on a slammer. There's no way I would be the slammed. I would be the slammer.
Yeah. I recently got that box out of my parents' house, and there are a lot of pogs on there. I actually have that plastic yin-yang disc is actually an official pog playing surface.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. I was all in on pogs.
Wow, you really were.
The rules were airtight. It's like you hit the slammer and then you take the ones away that don't flip. It makes perfect sense to me.
I'm going to have to talk to TK1 because I remember, I think pogs were banned from my elementary school.
Oh, yeah, because like it was like, wasn't like the whole deal was that like if you lose, they get like your...
Yeah.
Your...
I guess there were fist fights over like...
Sure.
You know,
it was always like a series of... What were the stupid ones that you flicked? They were like kind of like marbles, but they were had faces on them.
I don't remember that.
Was this like a 3 month fad? In like yeah, 1995
It was a three month fad.
My elementary school went through fads of marbles and jacks. Those games are actually pretty fun.
Yeah. No, but yeah, no.
Do you remember Devil Sticks or what were they?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, now I have to go buy a pair of Devil Sticks.
Just beat up some white dude with dreads. You'll be able to fully
it's
get
not
him
hard.
Off.
Well, he probably has pretty strong forearms, but other than that, he's all like
he's only able to do this.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's just like you can't get too close to him. Yeah, he's just gonna juggle you in midair. So, strangely enough, Buko, Chris, you guys recently co-celebrated a birthday together.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, Chris, how did that rank in terms of your all-time birthday celebrations?
I've never ranked a birthday celebration.
Okay,
so,
I just want to know.
So, unranked. Wow.
This is a loaded question.
Okay.
Did you feel bad that I got the ice cream cake and you just got a picture of yourself?
Oh, no. Okay. I was... ice cream cake, I don't know. I feel like I need my ice cream and my cake separate on the same plate.
Whoa.
So that's how I go. I go a la mode.
That's a hot take right there.
Yeah. But all-time birthdays... I don't know, man. I'm still thinking about that. I'm going to have to get back to it.
That's a tough one, players.
I mean, didn't celebrate bar mitzvah, so that's out as being the best birthday ever.
I'm practically a Jehovah's Witness. I don't celebrate anything. Let's see. No, I don't have any... I feel like they're all pretty good. I don't put any special...
21st birthday?
Wow. That's when I met my... Or that's when my girlfriend and I probably first hooked up. Our first kiss was that birthday celebration. So there you go. You called it.
Wow.
You nailed it. Out of all 29 birthdays, you called
me. You were like, I'm so nervous. You're like, alcohol. Fuck it. Dinner girlfriend tonight.
Yeah. And we went to like a Korean karaoke on like Cheltenham Ave and it was wild. It was a good birthday.
So it sounds like you were able to keep it together. I mean,
yeah.
That's not what happened with Klegger.
What was your 21st birthday like?
I don't remember it.
I think they made Klegger take like 24 shots. It was insane that this guy who was even like skinnier back then, like was...
I actually weigh less now than
okay, but it didn't matter, like he was really drunk and it was because we were really bad friends.
Yeah, I blacked out around shot 13 and it was probably very obvious that I did black out.
Yeah, no, you were really like we had you sort of court. We were at Soak City Diner and you were just like sort of like slumped up and we were just like, take this, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I remember I was dancing with somebody in my winter jacket, and I was like, "It's hot, but I don't know what to do." Oh no! And that was my last memory.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
it was bad. For
that sounds ugh.
Changing gears, would you ever live in another country? You've lived up and down the East Coast. Why not? You know, not Canada.
Canada doesn't count. Then I don't think so.
Wow.
Maybe. I could see living in England, maybe, just because it's got all the same. There's like a Cheltenham in England, so I don't feel like all the same town names. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I can handle England.
I got very confused when somebody was talking about Boston and they were referring to the Boston in England a little while ago. And I was just like, "There's a Boston in England." I should also preface this, like, Boston is like a very small town in England. If you are in the United States and you are talking about Boston in England, you should say you're talking about Boston.
Yeah, it seems like a weird assumption to make. Be like, yeah, it was Boston in England. I'm not crazy, a bloody wanker.
It was just a super bizarre thing where someone was just like, oh yeah, I actually visited my like uncle in Boston last week, and I was just like, oh that's cool, and it was like, yeah, it was crazy. The British accents are so. It's like, what? It was so weird. Anyway, yeah.
So you seem like.
So I guess you don't speak other languages then.
No.
That's going to be, I guess, right there. If you're like, I'll live in England, the other place where they speak
English.
So you seem like a real thrill seeker.
Yeah, that's safe to say.
What's the most dangerous thing you've done this year?
This year?
You ever skydive?
No.
No? Even Kliger's done that.
Even Kliger.
For my dad's 68th birthday.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, actually.
It's on video.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I guess you probably don't ride a motorcycle.
No, I'm pretty tame. I don't know. Not a good question for me. I got nothing.
That's all right. Let's just segue into, do you have any embarrassing TK1 stories?
Oh, yeah. It's a constant stream of college embarrassing.
Oh, good. I'm sure he doesn't... Come on, feed it.
All right, off the top of my head, he's definitely thrown up in a couple of bars. Medusa's Lounge, I want to say? I don't remember.
Medusa's Lounge.
You know where that's like...
You know where the Las Vegas Lounge is?
No, wasn't it? Let's see. He's provoked a fight with like 10 dudes at a party once.
How'd he do that?
Their passed out friend... He was a complete dickhead, punched our female roommate in the stomach at a party that we weren't at. So next week, another Linwood Gardens party in the Tyler School of Art, where it used to be. So there's these 10 dudes, and the only one of them that you're probably not allowed to fight is this piece of shit, because he was passed out in the dirt. So, like, you can't beat that guy up. And you're just kind of a dickhead. But he doesn't mind saying... Get that piece of shit out of here. I'm gonna fuck him up or something. I forget what he says, but he's like, he's not happy that this guy's at the party, and he's not even less happy that he's not in the shape to fight him.
Oh, okay.
So he just keeps talking shit on their passed out friend until it starts to get a little heated, and I'm the only other guy that's gonna back up Tom, and I'm thinking, I'm too sober for this, first of all.
And you guys weigh like 200 pounds.
Yeah, between the two of us, we're like, you know, definitely under 300 probably. So.
Yeah.
We're in no shape to take on 10 guys, so we're both kind of like, he's just picking a fight, I'm like strategizing how to get us not murdered tonight.
Mm.
And so eventually, thank God, one of their friends is like the diplomat that's whole, because at some point a knife came out.
What?
Yeah, but that guy was especially drunk too, so I don't think we're in any danger of getting stabbed, I don't think.
I feel like that would scare me more.
That's not the way drunk knife fights work. You know, I'm too drunk to work this, I'm just going to go home, guys. Yeah. This is a bad idea.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good thing.
Who punches a woman in a stomach? Who punches anybody in a stomach?
She just toppled over. Like, and also, they were kind of almost friends. She was dating her roommate.
Like could have been like a love tap?
No. She dropped to her knees and like...
All right, do I need to have a conversation with Erica about...
No.
Anyways, it ends with basically me kind of pulling Tom back in from the doorway, having the owner of the house like lock the door real quick and just like, okay, let's just end this. But there was a diplomat on the other side, I'll have to say, that kind of made sure we didn't get stabbed.
There you go.
That's good, but that doesn't sound embarrassing for Tom. He was like defending this like girl.
It went on for a while that it shouldn't have. But not... Overall,
you're being
sentiment.
A good friend, not making him look too bad.
No. It was a good sentiment behind it. The guy should have gotten his ass kicked, but...
There you go.
Wasn't the night for it.
So, last question before we turn this into a real, real softball powwow. If you were to become a doctor, it seems like you're pretty firmly entrenched in this whole producer thing, but if you were to become a doctor, what area of doctorship do you think you'd study?
Gynecology.
Ew.
Ew.
I don't know. What's
say the most heroic one?
I would only save. I would do Doctors Without Borders for
defund doctors.
I don't know. I'd save kids in the third world somehow.
What would be the most
heroic one? There you go.
I guess that would be pretty heroic.
Maybe pediatric cancer.
Yeah, some sort of oncology.
Yeah, helping kids with like cleft lips in India is like feels like a pretty noble thing.
That's the one I did.
Yeah. Dietitian at Penn or at Jefferson. That's the most noble.
My mom.
We used to wear rugged boots, now it's all tailored suits. Autumn on McKay for my criminal recruits. Champagne flutes, bumping rhythm in the blues. My partner made bad moves, he might end up in the news.
Alright, so Chris, early in the season when you first joined, you had some injury issues.
Sure.
How you feeling now?
I think I've shaken off the rust and I'm in good shape now.
Okay, what was wrong with you? Because there's sort of like a mystery ailment.
Yeah, this isn't the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. Lower body injury. Confusion. But like, what happened?
I think it's quadricep. The first time I injured it was both quads, left and right. Just running, I think, is what did it. In general?
And this was at softball, or was it in
definitely at softball? It's
like it was like immediate, though. I think
it was. It was like first game, maybe second game.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I remember that. And you were just like, "I'm gonna stop playing."
Yeah.
And it's like, what's wrong with you?
Nah, it hurt pretty bad, actually.
it's very
painful, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it was just from, I guess, not exercising the year or two prior to playing softball might have been the problem. But I think I've shaking off the rust, and I'm 100%. Which
okay, so let the calf heal, and it's working. It's firing, right? That's what they say about those sort of things. They're firing.
Right? Yeah. Well, you're definitely in consideration for all-star softball player.
Really?
You and TK used to run dodgeball, right? Like, do you think you're a better dodgeball player?
I'd say all time, TK1's got a better record than me. But our last, we ran it for a couple years. By the second year, I think we're running even there. It was us two and then a bunch of kids who weren't very good
at
it. So
that's best case scenario.
Yeah,
so what do you think about yourself? Or do you think you're a better softball player or a dodgeball player? That's a good question.
Oh, no question I'm a better dodgeball player. Okay. I was dominating dodgeball.
What's your basic dodgeball strategy there? You like quick throws, ball domination, getting people out of jail?
I think put a little bit of spin, throw it low, and most guys are going to try to reach out of the way, reach outside the strike zone to use a phrase. And drop it that way. And then
psychological.
Just got to have good hands. So
what about avoiding being hit? Do you sort of like stay to a side, like you use a wall or something like that?
If you're not trying to get hit, you probably stay in the back and just let guys who couldn't help but throw it at you, and you'll catch it most of the time because just that good.
Yeah, me, I'm ultra aggressive, get out quick.
Yeah.
Tiger likes to use his straight line speed whenever it's available to him.
I should say it got real boring eventually and we just show up wasted, and then that sort of leveled the playing field a lot. And after that, it was just kind of, balls to the wall.
Wow, I think he might have a problem.
Yeah, no, there's no question I have substance abuse issues, so.
Well, it's not this podcast. We were talking about softball. So what do you think is your best softball position defensively?
Left field, center. Probably left field.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't say shortstop.
You took away a hit from me in the last game. I was pretty upset about it.
Yeah. No, I can catch. I discovered through softball that maybe I shouldn't be playing in the infield generally.
It's fun, though.
Yeah. And I just more action. That's the only reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect form to do it.
Yeah.
And we actually are, we do have a lack of people that step up to be shortstop, and you're definitely a serviceable shortstop.
I can hold it to not a, extra
you keep
bases.
It in front of you. Yeah.
It's just
like getting the ball and throwing it to first base.
Yeah, and that's kind of half the game, I think, or more than half maybe, is getting the ball actually to the first base.
Sure.
That is definitely.
That's definitely a big part of it. Well, what about, how do you feel like you've done it? Do you feel like you've progressed as a hitter, or do you feel like you're sort of stuck in the mud? You hit the ball in the air this past game, which was like an improvement,
I've been using, I think, tennis. I played tennis all through high school, and that's the exact opposite of how you want to be hitting a baseball, and I didn't figure that out until relatively recently.
Yeah, I've seen that tennis swing, and it's a bad swing for
softball. Where you put your weight in the swing is completely different. Like, you want to be on your back foot is what I found out when you're through most of your swing, right, in softball.
Yeah, you're coming forward, but
you want to transfer to the front, though.
No, right? That's what I thought. That's been my problem all year. Is like I transfer too soon. I guess
it might just be a timing thing. Yeah, in that case, but yeah, it's not the right swing. You sort of come down too soon when you're a tennis player.
Yeah,
which, yeah, it's different. I can imagine that would mess.
I think I'm progressing, but I mean, from a very low place, I'm progressing.
That's important. Yeah. I mean, it's really going to be interesting to see how you progress that last 2% of your game. You know, that's
you are. I mean, you are really, really fast, so that does help with getting on base.
Yeah, I think if somebody bobbles it, then I'm usually good. And for the first half of the season, it was just I hit the ball to the same place at third base pretty much every at bat.
Yeah,
and I still got on the base. At least half the time.
That's a good. That's a decent strategy. Is force that throw.
If you are fast, or even just hitting it to third, is usually a pretty good.
Yeah, especially if a few get by, if there's some confusion on the base paths, it can be really solid.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Sure. So, well, you're probably not actively being considered for MVP.
Okay. Sorry. Well, that comes as a shock. But
sorry,
you know.
This is the first. Sorry if I had to be the one to tell you this. Yeah. You're intimately close with two people that are Tom Kelly, Gabe Yastrzemski.
Okay.
So straight up, let's say it comes down to just them. So the better player.
Do I get a vote?
The better
player. Is this a Democratic?
You will get a vote, this is just a discussion topic right now. This is not a formalized vote.
Right. This is like the talking head. You know, we just called you into like ESPN on SportsCenter.
You got one pick, both available. Who are you taking?
Ooh, that's tough because I have seen good things out of both of them this year. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting. I didn't prepare for this.
See, I kind of like this because I feel like Tom would say like I don't give a fuck, but he would give a fuck, and Gabe would just be like I want the MVP.
Yeah. Wow. Nah, this is tough. I'd have to honestly look at some stats. I'd have to be objective
about
this.
I like his strategy. He wants
He's
to see the stats
though. Come
I'm
on.
Fine.
But
I'm fine.
It's still It's still my honest.
I feel like he's the one person who shouldn't be giving away. Everybody else should be discussing it. Like, Chris is the only one I feel like should be keeping it close.
Because that could be, I could see this being real close and coming down to one or two votes. So I don't want to, I'm going to Joe Biden this
one. I think before the poll thing, I'm going to come up with like some stats, like maybe break it down like per game stats, maybe to help out a little bit. Because
is that what an average is?
Yeah, but, like, what about, like, RBIs? Because, like, there is a disparity, but is it just because Gabe has played more games? He's played, like, whatever, 5 games more. I think I might do that.
All right, that'd be helpful. Are those the only two candidates that
this was a highly customized question just
I see.
For you.
Yeah, I see.
Because you are, you know, the... Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say... I think I owe them both a little deliberation before I just... give my answer on that one.
I feel like if you do have an emotional connection to both, it's better to like maybe rely on stats more in that case. You know?
Yeah,
go with your gut.
Not trying to break any hearts here. Yeah. Is there a physical award also? Is there like a trophy or a plaque?
Can be.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. Is this a yearly thing? Are there other? Gabe's like third or fourth MVP? Because that might factor into
it. We should point this out that we've only really been doing this. Since we've been doing Softball Diaries, and in no way has it ever been formal because it's just been Klegger and I's opinion. Year
we're allowed to say whatever we
want. Right, yeah, we're allowed to have our opinions. This year we're going to try and
we're
going to give out ballots to people.
Yeah.
So therefore we're going to try and make it more of a league-wide award. Gabe did win last year, but I don't think that should. It was not a formal. It was like. I said so. So like that doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Gotcha. All right. This is the first would you say this is the first MVP award
officially this is the first, like,
recognized kinda?
No, I think it is. It's sort of like in college football, you know, there's before the AP poll and like, you know, like there's historians have given awards to that. Like Pitt has 9 national championships. Eight of them are like given by some guy that like was like they were the best that year.
It's more official than that, but less official than this year's award. We're really hyping up this award.
We're gonna do it in like the NHL. It's gonna be in Las Vegas. It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
big stars are gonna be getting
recorded live.
Yeah.
So, even more difficult question: are you familiar with the rules of the game Kill, Fuck, Marry?
you give me three names, and I have to sign one of those to each
other. All right. Kill, fuck, marry. Buko. Zach Gross. Matt K.
Oh, wow. can I just sob quietly for a second before I make
Absolutely.
This?
Yeah, sobbing is encouraged. Right?
Okay, kill, fuck, marry. And it's...
You know Matt K, right? I feel like Matt K might be...
Played enough games, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all going to come down to who I think is going to cheat on me the most.
Mm.
Okay.
I am a promiscuous girl. All
right. Let's go 1, 2, 3. So kill Matt K. I know him the least, and I see him the least.
Okay.
I feel like most people would go with that.
That's not controversial.
Marry Zach Gross. I can keep that guy on a short leash.
Wow.
Wouldn't you want to just bang?
So say the last one.
I'd have to wouldn't marry Buko.
He said marry, but he was saying in order. So he meant fuck. Yeah, I feel like it would fuck. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, not that I would.
That's pretty much what I'm doing too. That's the way that I would have that play drawn up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, no surprises there.
No, but it could have been.
It could have been.
So who's the best captain that you've ever had?
That's interesting. I gotta go Gabe on that.
Oh.
Because I think he did a good job of making sure, like, you know, everybody, like, socially was, you know, cool with each other and knew each other pretty well when he's captain. Is that, do you agree with that?
You don't have it.
I'm curious on other people's take.
I think that's an interesting way to go about it. I mean, like, Gabe does usually pick people he's more familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, and I guess that could help. You know, generally we like to try. I feel like it's good to like mix it up, like get people playing together. Don't always, but you know, like I can understand maybe you know that you would appreciate having knowing more people on your team.
Yeah, I think just for getting drunk with you know gets the mood going. I feel like I'm a better softball player when I'm drunk, which I've been finding out as the season's gone along. So.
I'm an awful player all drunk, so...
I'm an awful player high.
So is Gabe. Maybe that runs in the family.
Or maybe it runs in... I don't know. Just the very nature of the drug itself, I think, is not meant for athletics.
It's definitely a PED. Keep a motherfucker laying still. Bang him with the stainless steel. Cause I'm making the order. Left at the altar, pulling it louder. So... How would you describe yourself as a batter? Like, would you describe yourself like, you know, power guy, you know?
If you were a vegetable, all around.
I think I'm Wesley Snipes in Major League. Just hit the ball on the ground, put it in play, get on base. But that's not who I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be Wesley Snipes' character from the second one, from the second Major League, who's trying to hit for power but can't really do it.
Oh. So no Blade reference here?
I was getting there. I don't think I've ever seen Blade.
What? None of them?
I don't think so. I think I catch him like on TBS halfway through.
The Blade universe is like it's almost the Fast and Furious of superhero movies because it's like he's a vampire that's mixed with a daywalker, so he's like a vampire, but he can go outside. I think, but he hunts vampires. I think. Yeah.
He's a vampire.
And then I think in like Blade 3 or beyond that, it gets Trinity. The mythology gets very confusing. I think that's Underworld. Is that Underworld or Blade?
No, Blade Trinity is third one.
Yeah,
that has Ryan Reynolds and some other.
Is Ryan Reynolds a vampire?
No, he's a vampire hunter.
Wait, what? Ryan Reynolds is in the third Blade movie?
As a vampire hunter?
He's
not a convincing vampire hunter in my book.
He hangs out with...
More convincing vampire.
Aren't they having him play Deadpool? It's just very upsetting that they keep giving him superhero roles. Especially Deadpool is my favorite superhero.
Oh, really?
And it's very bothersome to me that
Gambit? I thought Gambit was
Wasn't he also Green
superhero?
Lantern?
I love Gambit. Yeah, and it was that. Yeah, he bombed miserably.
He's not... He's not as charismatic.
I don't know why Hollywood assumes that he's so charismatic, because he's not.
It's like, you know, there's just not enough leading actors out there. You know, there's just not enough these dignified men, and they're just like giving him chances to be the man.
Yeah.
Also, Deadpool's supposed to be hideously covered in like.
He's not supposed to be handsome.
He's supposed to be hideous, and like the fact that they have like a handsome actor playing him, and like they're not gonna do like his cells are supposed to be all fucked up, which is why his face is all fucked up. The fact that they're not gonna do that, you know.
I mean, isn't Deadpool like a terrible like a psychopath? Like,
yeah,
so scary.
Yeah.
But he's an anti-hero.
But he's like jokes.
He's supposed to be rattling off jokes.
He's sort of like
he doesn't talk.
No, he does. He talks. Like that's his thing. Is he talks? His nickname is the Merc with a Mouth.
I read a lot of comic books, so I can.
We
can keep this going. I'll keep talking about comic books the rest.
I think it's really bothering Klinger. Let's just move on. So, where in the lineup would you like to hit? Like, where do you feel like you fit? If I was captaining you, and I was like, Chris, where are you spotting up for me?
All right. Assuming that we have 9 batters.
Okay,
which is not safe to assume, but let's say 9.
No, I like
position,
it.
That's the most.
I'd say common ground there. I would like to be 5 or 6.
Whoa.
However, I'm not sure if I have the stats to support that.
Think anyone has the stats to be 5 or 6. I don't think like you need 6. Like great
no
stats.
No
I apply my like MLB knowledge to like everything I'm thinking when it comes to softball. Don't think it's generally applicable.
No, this is applicable. But no one's ever dreaming of being a 5 or 6 hole hitter. A 5 hole hitter means that you have power but no average, and a 6 is like nothing.
Yeah. All right. So maybe
6 is like someone who's going to be out of the league soon, I think. Right?
I mean, I'd like to be 1 every time. So
I think I would pencil you in at 1, look you in the eyes, and be like, "What do you give?" Like, I'd have to like see your body language on that day.
All right. Let's see. Yeah. Well, if I showed up drunk, then put me in the 1 hole because I'm going to do pretty well.
Okay.
If
yeah.
If you struck out,
speed is important on the bases.
Can't have my 1 spot striking out.
All right, so now we're at the point of the podcast, the final 2 questions. So, what's the Chris Maltby dog?
You're right. I've put a lot of thought into this.
Okay,
I like this.
I'm already excited.
I want the bun a little bit toasted.
Okay, a little toasted bun.
It's going to be Hebrew National.
Got all beef, got it.
It's got to be all beef. I guess sure. Hebrew National I can switch that up, but it's got to be all beef. Raw onions. Mm-hmm. Fried onions.
Nice.
Spicy brown mustard.
I love it. That sounds great. I would eat it.
And optional if I wanted to put like a little chili or a little like some kind of like, you know, if I want to make it like a Texas Tommy kind of dog.
With the mustard.
Doesn't Texas Tommy have bacon?
Bacon and peanut butter?
I actually don't eat bacon, so never mind. I don't know what a Texas Tommy is, I guess.
Yeah, we used to make Texas
Tommy's. It was on the menu at the place we used to work at, Texas Tommy's. But I don't think we ever made them. Wasn't it like wrapped in bacon with cheese?
Maybe.
Is a chili dog just a chili dog? Because I guess
chili
dog's like,
just a chili dog.
Oh, okay. I'll throw some chili on that.
Or you could call it a coney if you feel like being a dick about it.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Being a dick?
Yeah.
All right. And the last question is, what would your rock-up music be?
I put a lot of thought into this when I thought we were going to be doing it.
You're going to toast the song a little bit.
I think it's got to be Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. Because I really want horns in my walk-up music. And I think that's the best song that has like a really good opening that I could come up with. So just like, you know, dun 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 dun. It's kind of cheerful.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's not very intimidating.
Not very
it's kind
intimate.
Of like a little
but
bit comical.
But I like it. No. Yeah, it's good to have like, I can't have all, you know, he's sort of like, I like it.
Relax, everybody.
Sure. Yeah. No, it puts a false sense of security out there. It's like, oh, this guy's got horns. What's he going to do to me?
And then boom, there's
and then
my
boom. And
my
boom.
Second
there's a
double.
Reach on air. Yeah. All right, yeah. Thanks,
so
Chris.
And here's my one. How many games are left? Do we know? Do we have any idea?
I feel like we got one.
At least one, as many as an infinite amount.
Okay. I think we got one or two at most.
I might be fine. Come back
if there's because Tuesday I'm going to be in Texas. I'm hoping there's going to be at least 2 games left so I can get one more game.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, we could try to do it.
All right, that's not a very good way to end.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Well, Chris, thanks for that interview. Definitely know a lot more about you than just as that guy that is like, vaguely related to Gabe.
Yeah, cousin Gabe. Sorry, you gotta say it that way.
Cousin Gabe, yeah.
I'm no longer cousin Chris. I'm Chris, and Gabe's cousin Gabe.
Yeah.
Now you're Adam.
Oh, God. That
confuses
brilliant.
Everything.
Yeah, it's so good. So game Tuesday, weather permitting, obviously. There shouldn't be any makeup soccer game, hopefully.
Yeah, that was a makeup soccer game for the Pope.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I don't know why the Pope cancels soccer games.
I feel like the Pope should be into soccer. Here.
Yeah, in Fishtown, there's nothing.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, the Pope probably is a big soccer guy.
Yeah, he's from Argentina, lives in Italy. I mean, that's a soccer thing. Yeah. Anyway, so come out. Did they ever get the drone out of the tree?
I assume so.
Okay, good.
It's a serious investment to get a drone.
Jeff Knight would fly it into a tree.
Oh, dude, Jeff Knight got me the battery pack that he was talking about. It's pretty awesome.
What battery pack was he talking about?
Oh, I can't. I don't think I can talk about it on
air. All right. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.